It's not every day a sea turtle gets a lift from the U.S. Coast Guard, but the sea turtle in question turns out to be a pretty important one. The Olive Ridley sea turtle, given the name of Solstice, got a ride from the Oregon Coast Aquarium in Newport to SeaWorld in San Diego this week. The San Diego stay is meant to further the turtle's recovery. She was nearly dead when found on a Washington beach in December. Let's find out more about the turtle, her species, and her recovery. We have three guests with us, joining us clustered around a speakerphone at the Oregon Coast Aquarium. Erin Paxton is the public relations coordinator at the aquarium. Welcome, Erin.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Laura Todd from the Fish and Wildlife Service Federal is there as well. Welcome, Laura.
Good morning.
And also from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Robert Simpson. Welcome, Robert.
Actually, he's from the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard, oh, okay.
And unfortunately, Robert was not able to join us this morning, but we're quite grateful that they were able to provide transport.
Okay, now we have the parameters set up anyway. So Lori, we can start with you. Tell us what the general story is with Olive Ridley sea turtles.
Well, Olive Ridleys are an endangered species, and all of our turtles in the Pacific Ocean are listed. In this case, she's endangered, and they're pretty stable right now, but there are threats from fishing bycatch, from potentially eating plastics and marine debris, from boats that may strike them, and then from in their natal areas where they breed, they can be potentially taken by predators or humans.
And so the Olive Ridleys, I understand, are considered somewhat small by sea turtle standards. How big is Solstice?
She's about 2 feet or so, a little bit less than 2 feet in size, and she weighs about 53 pounds now.
Yeah, yesterday she just weighed in at 53 pounds. When she first came to the aquarium, she was just 40 and a half. So
she gained a quarter of her body weight, which is pretty great.
This sounds like the concerns about newborn babies, human babies. You know, we want to make sure they get another pound in before X date, that kind of thing.
Exactly right.
Where do Olive Ridley sea turtles usually hang out?
Well, they're usually south of San Diego or so, and they breed in Mexico and South America, and they go all the way south to Peru. But they can occur all the way into Alaska at times, and we're not exactly sure what conditions that they end up following those northerly currents, but they do probably tend to follow food and warm waters.
Is it a migration pattern similar to gray whales or something? Do we know? No.
And they're for the most part, they'd be far south. So they'd be south of Southern California. And we just don't know why they end up coming up so far north. The oceans are totally open, so there is no barriers to their movement other than the temperatures and food conditions. So it could be, it could be related to just finding food, and they end up on a warm current going north. And then as those currents dissipate, when the fall comes, they get stuck. At least that's a theory. So.
And has it happened before?
Yes. It happens all the time, actually. We have a number of times that we find turtles that have not made it that are dead. And then we've had about 4 turtles in the past 5 years that we've been able to recover through the aquarium.
And who found this particular turtle? What were the circumstances when Solstice was found?
It was a woman in Oysterville, Washington, and her boyfriend were walking in on the beach, and they just happened to come across her. They thought she was dead, and then they saw her eyes move. So they called around, and they found the Seaside Aquarium, which is on the north part of the coast, and they immediately contacted the Oregon Coast Aquarium after picking her up, and the Fish and Wildlife Service went up to Seaside and moved her down to Newport, where Oregon Coast Aquarium took over.
And so, Erin, this is the kind of thing that happens fairly often, I would think, with the Oregon Coast Aquarium. You're set up to do this sort of thing.
We are set up to do this sort of thing. We were fortunate enough to receive a grant, I believe, from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that let us establish a behind-the-scenes area that's specifically for tropical animal rehabilitation. And so we have a designated space, and we've got a very well-trained staff that's ready to go at a moment's notice if another turtle were to wash up.
So, Erin, in a situation like this where the first people who spotted this turtle thought she was dead, I mean, how fast do the aquarium people have to move, and what are some of the preliminary steps?
Well, the first thing that happens when an animal is stranded is people should contact the Oregon State Police Wildlife Hotline, and that group can ensure that wildlife officials will respond that know how to appropriately transport the animal. And the aquarium waits for directives from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service before they bring an animal in for rehabilitation. Typically, we intervene when the animal is under distress because of human activities, or in the case of Solstice, because she's an endangered species.
So, Laura Todd, is there somebody from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service constantly on call for such situations to be there for advice?
So the Marine Mammal Stranding Network is a national network in the coastal areas that respond to marine mammals. And in the case of the West Coast, we also respond to stranded turtles. So the Marine Mammal Stranding Network is a resource that is able to be around at all times of the day and night. And so they would be able to contact either the state police, or they would be able to contact someone in the service to immediately respond. So, yeah, they have my cell phone number, and they can call us if we have any issues at any time of the day or night.
We're talking about Solstice, the Olive Ridley sea turtle, recently flown from Oregon down to California so she could do some further recovery at SeaWorld in San Diego. She was gone through the initial stages of rehab at the Oregon Coast Aquarium. Aaron Paxton is the public relations coordinator there. Laura Todd is with us from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. You can join the discussion on the exchange. Phone number here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How vast, Aaron, is the set of facilities you have there at the Oregon Coast Aquarium to help animals that are in distress?
Well, for the tropical animals, we can treat, I would say, it's not as extensive. Our aquarium is focused primarily on animals native to the Pacific Northwest. So we are set up, we've never not had space between the other zoos and aquariums in the Northwest where we haven't been able to care for an animal if it needed it. The Oregon Coast Aquarium also has the largest triage facility to treat sea otters if there were ever something like an oil spill in the Pacific Northwest. We have the space to respond to that kind of emergency. I don't have a square foot area for you, though.
All right. But you're used to doing this sort of thing. But it sounds like in the case of an Olive Ridley sea turtle, it's a bit outside your latitude, if not the actual genus and species.
That's an appropriate descriptor. We don't exhibit sea turtles, but almost all of our aquarium staff has worked with them at other aquariums previously. So we certainly have the in-house expertise to take care of them.
So what steps were taken, and either one of you, I guess, can answer this one, is in restoring consciousness and bringing up her body weight and so on?
Well, we can start with, in the beginning, we just keep her at the current temperature in the emergency response. So when we first pick her up, we just get her inside and get her in a vehicle as quickly as possible. So the very first steps really are not to raise temperature until we get her immediately to a care facility, and then it's their turn to take over at a very slow rate. And I can go ahead and let Aaron kind of explain what that is.
So when Solstice arrived at the aquarium, our team dry doctor, which means although she's a sea turtle and she's most comfortable in water, the last thing we'd want to do is change her environmental conditions and put her into shock. So we set her up on land in a temperature similar to what she was experiencing on the beach, and then we slowly raise that temperature 1 to 2 degrees per day. And we covered her shell with a lubricant to help keep her from continuing to lose water. We administered fluids as our veterinarian deemed appropriate, and we also would put a saline solution in her eyes to keep those moist and comfortable. Once she reached a stable body temperature of 75 degrees, then we started to reintroduce her to water.
Wow, 75 degrees sounds mighty cold for a body temperature, but we're talking different critters from humans here. That's a real slow rise in ambient temperature around her, then. That is just to keep her from going into shock, Aaron?
That's right. It keeps her from going into shock. She's obviously already experienced a lot of trauma by the time she gets here, and so any sudden changes might elicit an unexpected response from her body or put her under further stress, and that's the last thing we want to do when we're trying to rehabilitate an animal.
And Laura, when Solstice was picked up, was there any particular, did she have any energy to struggle with? Did she, resist being picked up or anything?
No, she was comatose, and almost every turtle that ends up on our beach is at by the time we get them, is comatose. So they don't move. They may have some reflex responses, but really they don't struggle. There may be some flapping and there may be some movement, but it's not a struggle that you're not able to handle.
What kind of special precautions do the handlers have to take then? I mean, turtles, this is still you said 40 pounds when she was first picked up, so not a terribly heavy creature, but you got sharp edges and things to bite with and stuff like that, if in fact they were not comatose, I guess.
Yeah. No, they're pretty unable to respond, so they're pretty, you pick them up by the shell carefully, and of course don't want to bruise or hurt them, so we put them into a confining, tub to get them moved, but really there isn't much that we need to do for their protection. Really, it's for protection of the turtle itself.
We have a question here from Julian Ashland, who wants to know if these turtles stay near the beach or in open water in the wild. Also wants to know if you tag turtles to keep track of them, and specifically if Solstice will get tagged.
Solstice was tagged right before she left with two number tags, one on each flipper. And that way, if she beaches again, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has those numbers, and researchers can make note of those numbers, and then when they look it up, they'll see that it was Solstice. So she might also potentially be fitted with a radio tracking device, but that wouldn't be for some time.
All right. So at this point, for sure, number tracking. So if she does end up ashore again and somebody notices her, she'll be displaying the numbers. But the radio tracking yet to be decided, it sounds like. And then, Laura, about how much do we know about the Olive Ridley sea turtles? And you mentioned that we're still a little dark on some of their movements. And so to Julie's question about whether they stay near the beach or in open water, do we know the answers to those questions?
We're not completely in the dark, but we do know that they are very pelagic. That means that they're out at sea at almost all times. The only times they come ashore is when they're laying eggs or sick. They don't bask on land. They don't, come up on land to check it out. So they're very much at sea.
And so Julie's question brings up a great point. Unfortunately, there was an incident this summer where some well-meaning beachgoers in Florence actually pushed a sea turtle that they saw on the beach back out into the ocean. And the Fish and Wildlife Service, the aquarium, wildlife responders didn't hear about it until after the fact, and we weren't able to locate the animal. And so for Oregon and Northwest beachgoers, it's really important to note that if you do see one of these animals, please don't move it, because they do require specialized handling to ensure that the animal isn't further injured when they're transported, and to please let authorities know as soon as you can so that we can help them.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to ask about the general protocol in stranded critters. And Laura Todd, it sounds like the first thing to do is to call somebody who does know what they're doing.
Yes, and then stay with the animal so that someone can find it. If you're able to stay with the animal, it's much, much more likely that that a responder could find the animal on the beach. You know, it could be anywhere on the beach without someone there. And so it would be really great if they can stay with it.
And Aaron, in the process of bringing Solstice back from what sounds like the brink of death, I mean, you talked about the fact that she's gained about a quarter of her body weight back since being in rehab. When did she begin to actually show like she was aware of things around her or anything like that? I mean, did it take several days for that?
I would say it took over a week. Once she reached that 75-degree body temperature, she started to become a bit more active. And then we introduced her first to shallow water and then eventually deeper water. And once she got into water, she seemed to get quite a bit more active. I think at that point she was starting to feel like a turtle again.
And what do Olive Ridley sea turtles eat, Laura Todd?
They can eat squid, invertebrates, bits of kelp, jellyfish. And that's actually a good point, that jellyfish resemble plastic bags in the water. You know, if you think about a jellyfish, if you see them here at the aquarium, they look like plastic bags in the water. So sometimes that can be an issue, that that turtles can eat plastic bags thinking that they're their natural food.
And what does that do to their digestive systems?
It can kill them. Yeah.
It just blocks them right up.
Mm-hmm.
And how big a problem is plastic out there? I know we've had several discussions about the North Pacific Gyre and have tried to understand it's not actually a garbage patch so much as just a lot of plastic particles out there, but it sounds like closer to shore it can be plastics that have not yet been pounded into little particles.
Yeah, it's a problem. And it's certainly for sea turtles and seabirds and all kinds of animals. They often eat them, and they can become a serious problem for those animals.
And I think a lot of people don't realize, too, as a recreational fisherman myself, I was floored to learn that monofilament, something you see all the time on creeks and rivers all over Oregon, can last 600 years in the ocean before it breaks down into pieces where it wouldn't entangle animals. And even then, plastics are there in our oceans forever. So they don't break down or decompose like an orange peel might.
Wow, so your monofilament fishing line will be there for quite a few centuries, it sounds like. Are there alternatives that are biodegradable, Erin?
Not that I'm aware of. That's a great question, but you can recycle monofilament fishing lines. So anytime you're on the beach or in Oregon's waterways, a great way to help turtles and all kinds of wildlife is to pick up any trash you might see, even if it's not yours, and properly dispose of it.
We're talking with Erin Paxton at the Oregon Coast Aquarium and Laura Todd from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about the rehab job on Solstice. The Olive Ridley sea turtle transported this week from Newport at the Oregon Coast Aquarium to SeaWorld in San Diego to complete her rehabilitation. You can join our discussion with questions and comments at 800-838-3760 out and about the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Obviously, there's the issue of Solstice being a warm water turtle and the Oregon Coast Aquarium being geared toward cold water creatures. What else about the species of turtle that provided anything tricky in the process of rehab and recovery, Erin?
Well, once Solstice hit the water, it became clear that in the process of her stranding and then being dry docked where she was on land, she developed an air pocket under her shell. So the next step was to feed her and try to pack on the pounds to diminish that air pocket. If you think about it, turtles have a hard structure on the outside of their bodies, and an air pocket being caught under there makes them very buoyant. So in that case, she would be vulnerable to a curious seabird because she's not able to dive, and it would make it very difficult for her to hunt. Over the last 2 months, that's diminished quite a bit, but she still has a little bit of a ways to go, which is why she'll spend a little more time at SeaWorld in San Diego before she's released into the wild.
Otherwise, would she be healthy enough to release into the wild now?
She'd probably be healthy enough, but because of that, we just don't know. But it's too cold still, even in San Diego, to release her, so we would still be waiting till summer to release her.
Huh. So and what's the general water temperature range for an Olive Ridley sea turtle?
Well, it's in the tropics, so it's somewhere between 60 and 75 degrees, depending on the temperatures. They vary from the surface to where they dive, so they can get to colder as they dive further down, but the surface temperatures are anywhere probably from 60 to 75 degrees, depending on the time of year. And as you get into the wintertime, of course, it can be colder, but they can also bask at the surface to stay warm and things.
Wow, but so the waters in Washington where she was found would have been what, in the upper 40s, low 50s?
Yeah, probably low 50s, I think. I think it was like 50. Yeah, I can't remember what the water temperature was. I know the temperature in the air was like 52 degrees.
Did that air pocket form, Laura Todd, just because she'd lost so much weight?
We don't know. You know, this is a couple times we've seen this come up, and we're not sure if the air pocket forms after she's stranded on the beach or if she gets stranded because of the air pocket. It's possible that she's gotten stranded because of the air pocket, that, you know, she may have had some injury in the past that caused some air to collect under her shell, that then she was subject to the currents and the wind movement, so that, you know, she couldn't easily dive and she couldn't swim very well, and then she could have been stranded after that. So we just don't know if it was before or after, but we could certainly see where it'd be before that could cause her to then strand.
Sure, she'd be bobbing around like styrofoam out there or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
So who did name her Solstice? I don't know. Do you guys always name things that you pick up off the beach?
No, but we do seem to name turtles. And she was named because she was found on the winter solstice.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It also helped us differentiate her from other turtles that have washed up. So the next day we had a turtle washed up the next week. And we couldn't bring it into the aquarium here because we'd have two turtles at two different temperatures, and they couldn't be treated in the same area at two different temperatures. It's not physically possible. So I went up to get her and take her to Seattle, and unfortunately she died in the car on the way to Seattle. And so to sort of differentiate her from those unfortunate turtles, we were able to, you know, do that by giving her a name so that people weren't confused.
Are Olive Ridleys so distinctive that you know at a glance that's what she is?
You know, when they first wash up, they all look a lot alike. It's kind of hard. You do know what they, you know, if you're familiar with the Olive Ridley, you know what they look like. And yeah, But they all get very gray. They all look very similar, and especially as they're the smaller Olive Ridley, or the smaller Olive Ridley turtle can look like a more immature green sea turtle to some degree. So it can be confusing, but there are certainly some obvious characteristics.
And we were talking about seabirds that might get interested if there was a turtle bobbing out there because of an air pocket. Are there there must be predators on turtles?
There's not so much. I mean, like they can be attacked potentially by killer whales and other large. But they don't. Once they get large enough, they don't have a lot of obvious predators. But seabirds could pick out their eyes if they thought they were just bobbing around on the surface. They could be subject to other. Not so much predators as scavengers, if they thought they saw them.
Now, how unusual is it to get the Coast Guard involved in a move like this?
This is the second time they've done it for us, and the last time the Navy helped out, and I try to kind of spread that out a bit. I don't want them to be overburdened and have to feel like they are trying to change their training schedules for us. But since they had a training schedule already in place that they could accommodate the turtle, and it sort of fit in with their ability to work on search and rescue and treat an emergent patient during the flight, then they were able to help out.
And by all indications now at SeaWorld, does it seem like Solstice is going to be fine and releasable?
We got an update. Our aquarist flew down with her, and she told us that Solstice is swimming happily in an outdoor pool in the sunshine. They're covering it up at night to make sure that she stays at the appropriate temperature, but things seem to be going very well.
All right, good things happening for Solstice, the Olive Ridley sea turtle. Erin Paxton is public relations coordinator at the Oregon Coast Aquarium. Laura Todd is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.